Let us turn again to the chapter of God's word we read together in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 20, and let us consider verse 32 as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Matthew 20 at verse 32. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Well, we have here two blind men. There was a great multitude who followed Jesus from Jericho. And there were these two blind men sitting by the side of the way, and they heard that Jesus was passing by, and they cried out for help. They cried out to him as the Messiah. They knew that he was the Son of David. But that's not just saying that he was a descendant of David. It's saying that he was the descendant of David, that is, the Messiah. And when they understood that, it was only natural that they would go to him for help. With this great problem that they had, very possibly they had been blind from birth, and they were drawn together by their common disability, and they asked Jesus to give them their eyesight. Of course, Jesus' question to them was, what did they want? And their answer was, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And what we will try to do, is the Lord helping us, is to have a look at what our question, our response to Jesus' question might be. When the Lord is saying to us, and in a sense, that is what he is saying today, because this verse has come before us here, and taken it for my text, and so it should make an impression on us. There's a question here. And it's not as if it was some irrelevant question and irrelevant to our needs. What do we want? That's the opportunity Jesus is giving us, as it were. What do you want? That's the opportunity he gave to these people on the way from Jericho, I should say, on his way probably directly to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is mentioned at the beginning of chapter 21. They drew nigh to Jerusalem, they drew near to it. But where they were coming from and where they were going to, that's not terribly important. What is important is this: what do I want? And if Jesus were to come to us at this present moment, what would we ask him for? And yet, in a sense, he is coming to us, because we can pray to him. We are to draw near to him and ask him what we really most want. And that's what I want to examine with you this evening. We'll take three groups of people. And the first is those who are careless about true religion, or those whose religion is purely formal. There's no spiritual life to it. And if Jesus were to come to us, what would we ask? What would people who do not have true living spiritual religion, what would they ask for? We'll try and answer that to some extent anyway. Then in the second place, what about the soul that that is seeking salvation. What would they ask for? And then, in the third place, those who are God's children, those who have found salvation, they're not without their needs. They would still have something useful to ask for, something spiritually useful. They would ask something else. First, the answer of those who are careless about their religion. Second, the answer of those who are seeking salvation. And third, the answer of those who are already God's children. And as I was trying to say in the morning, it's the Lord ultimately that really knows what category we are in. And we have a responsibility to try and find out what group we are actually in. Well, first of all, those who do not have true religion, what would their question be? What would they ask for? What would you ask for if that is true of you, that your religion doesn't have real life in it? It might be like those who are mentioned in John chapter 6, who say, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now, Jesus was there speaking about the living bread, or the true bread, the bread that Jesus went on to speak, was already speaking about, as being pictured by the manna. It fed their bodies. And Jesus was speaking about food for the soul. But they mistook him. They misunderstood. They were thinking about ordinary food. They wouldn't have to go to the market, or they wouldn't have to go to the mill to buy some flour to make bread with. And if they had, in some miraculous way, food provided for them, then the running of the home would be a whole lot easier than it was, and they would never go hungry. Well, it's along these lines that people today would be asking. If Jesus came and said, what do you want? What do you most want? What would you really like me to give you? And they would say, plenty of food, plenty of money, and whatever else you would spend money on. May I have plenty of it. May I be kept from having to look around for the things I need, that I would get them provided for automatically. Well, there's nothing spiritual about that. Perhaps to some extent there's an acknowledgement of Christ as the giver of good things, but if it's only Christ as the giver of good things for this life, that's not very much. We need to be asking for spiritual things, as we will go on to notice. But what I'm trying to stress just now is, in the giving of things that will only do us good for this life. How could you put it better? Something that has some resemblance to what I have said. But how could you put it in a much, much better way? Well, listen to this, for instance. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek a place in the kingdom of God, of which Christ is the king, Christ is the head. Everything else will follow from that. You see, we've got to get first things first. We've got to get an understanding of the principles of true religion. You see, there is indeed a God, the one God. We need him. We need him to provide for us. And if we're going to have true religion, religion that will take us to heaven, then we must get it from God himself for the sake of Christ. That's the thing. What do we want? Do we want true religion? Or are we content with just some form of religion? Do we want true religion that will last until we are brought to heaven? And we will get to heaven if we have true religion, but only if we have true religion. We should be seeking first. That's the most important thing. Seeking true religion foremost, before and above everything else. That's what we need. We need Christ and true religion through him. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. The righteousness that he gives. Yes, a righteousness of our own manufacture. It will do us no good, but this righteousness will. It really will. And we will never lose it. It will never be taken away from us. That's what we should be seeking. Is Christ coming to us this evening? Have we got an answer for him? And we're going to say, give me not the bread that grows in the fields of this world, but the bread that comes down from heaven. Will we ask for the true bread, the true food, the food that will nourish our souls, the food that will give us life and strength, spiritual life and spiritual strength, so that we would get right through this world safely? Are we asking for that? Christ is coming near to us. What a privilege. What a privilege these men at the roadside had. Christ came where they were. He was interested in them. He wanted to help them. He knew they had needs. What are your needs? He was asking. And that's the sort of way that Christ is coming to us. Is your ear open? Are you leaning forward, as it were? Will I catch all that he is going to say? Yes, Christ is speaking to us. And he is saying this to us. What do you want? What do you really want? Are we ready to ask? These things we most need, they're to do with our souls. There's other things too. We can bring them all to him. We can ask him for these other things also. But this is the important thing, to get Christ and salvation through him. But those who are careless, they don't think about these things. Now, there was the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and his question to Christ was, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What good thing? What good works can I put to Christ by way of earning them, by way of earning eternal life, so that I might get to heaven? Now, are we thinking in that way? What good thing will I do? Are you wanting to pay for your salvation? Is that how it is? What good works can I bring to God? That's the way that man was thinking. He came to Christ. That was good. He had a question to ask him. That in itself was good. But he thought that he was doing pretty well. He just needed a bit of help. It wasn't that he needed that Christ would do everything for him, but he needed a bit of help. Is that the way that you are thinking? Is it? Well, You're offering to do what you cannot do. You're offering to work hard at saving yourself, and you cannot do it. And Christ, very much along the same lines as I was quoting from Paul to the Romans, this young man much as I was quoting from Paul to the Romans, Christ was saying, you can't do it. It's beyond you. Christ said, if thou wilt enter into life, if you will enter into heaven, if you want to enter into heaven, keep the commandments. But I've been doing that all my life, he says, and listed them off. He doesn't understand. Poor young man, he doesn't understand that it's altogether beyond. To keep the commandments, he thought that if he restrained from murder and theft and lying and so on, all would be well. He was keeping the commandments. But there was something missing. He needed to keep them in his heart. He needed to be godly in his thinking. He hadn't attained that. That was missing. There was something wrong. He didn't realize that his heart needed to be cleansed. He didn't realize that he needed a new heart. He didn't realize any of these things. He didn't realize that he needed the work of God in his soul, the work of God, the Holy Spirit in his soul for the sake of Christ. He needed a fundamental change. What about us? Do we realize that we need a fundamental change? You see, he needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when the Jews were asking him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? There's something similar in the question. The answer seems to be very different. The answer of Jesus is, this is the work of God. This is the work that God has appointed, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. This is the work that God has appointed. It's the same today. The Lord is pointing us to this. The Lord Jesus is pointing us to this, that we must believe, that we must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to these various people I'm referring to who appear in the Bible history, but he is speaking to us, yes. He who sits on the throne of heaven knows everything that is happening in this world. He knows everything that we need. He knows everything that we are thinking. And we need to think better. We need to think more scripturally. We need to think in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. We must look to Christ. We must believe in him. That's what we're being told. If we would get to heaven, and surely we want to get to heaven, we must believe. And we must come before God and say, what poor creatures we are. I cannot believe. I cannot trust. We cannot trust in what the Lord is saying to us. What poor creatures we are indeed. Yes. That's our situation. And take another example. Jesus came to a place in Gadara. He healed the man, or near there. He healed the man in whom there was the legion of devils. And devils entered into the swine that these people were keeping, and they ran off into the sea. They were drowned. The people in that place, they lost their pigs. The Jews weren't to eat pigs anyway. But, you see, what did they do with Jesus? They told him to depart out of their coast, out of their district. They told him to go away. Oh, how often people have told Jesus to go away. There's plenty of that going on today. We want to be without thee, they say. We want to get on with our lives apart from thee. We'll enjoy life better without thee. We'll enjoy life better if we're not being pressurized into keeping the commandments and so on. To be religious. To give up the world and the things of the world. We can't do that. We don't want to do that. Yes. But Jesus comes very often to test people. He comes to test. Will you give this up for me? Will you give that up for me? Well, that's the question. Will you? If you could have Christ by giving up some particular sin, would you have Christ, or would you want to hang on to that sin? That's what Christ is asking. What's the answer? Can we think of Christ just now waiting for an answer? Perhaps he's going to have to wait, as it were, for a very long time. But it's something to be considered. Very much considered seriously and solemnly. Well, let us go on to the second group of people. And that is those who are seeking salvation. Those who are seeking Christ. Christ comes to them, does he? And does he say, what do you want me to do? What's their answer? Supposing they are truly seeking Christ, supposing the work of God is going on in their souls, what would their answer be? What would their eyes be? Well, it could be something very like what this man, these two men, what they had to say, Lord, that our eyes may be open. Open it is. Lord, they're acknowledging his authority. They're acknowledging his power. May our eyes be open. Have you got that answer? Oh, go to the Lord with it in prayer. I want my eyes to be open. I'm here. I'm hearing about my soul. I'm hearing about my sin. I hear it again and again. But just now, I want my eyes to be open. I do not want to be left blind. I do not want to go on for another day in blindness, not seeing the things that really matter, not seeing Christ Jesus as the Savior of lost sinners. That's what I want. I want my eyes to be opened. Is that what you want? Oh, you see, we can take an example of how Jesus reacts to the answer to his question. He had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Jesus had compassion. He felt sorry for them. He felt their need. He looked mercifully on them. These people need something. I'm able to give it. I will give it. Isn't that the way that Jesus reasons, as it were? There's this sinner coming to me. He wants the eyes of his soul to be open. I'm able to do it. I'm sorry for him. I'm sorry for him going on as a sinner. I'm sorry that he doesn't see and he doesn't understand the way of salvation. And whatever means he uses, he touched the eyes of the blind man. He will come to speak into the souls of sinners. He is ready to hear their cry. He is ready to answer the request. He has mercy. That's the way we're to think about Christ. He is ready to show mercy. He is ready to give help. There was a change. They got their eyesight. They were able to walk. They were able to see where they were going anyway. And they followed him. And that's what happens at some stage in the experience of the soul that is seeking Christ. He hears them crying out for mercy. That might go on for a long time. He hears them asking for their eyes to be opened. And he is sorry for them, will we say. He comes where they are. He opens their eyes through the work of the Holy Spirit. He opens their eyes to see wonderful things out of the Word of God. He focuses their eyes on these words, perhaps. It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, I have come. I did come. I'm at the throne of grace now, and you can come and lay hold of me there. He's saying that. And he is saying that in conjunction with this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He is able to save to the uttermost all who come into God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession. Yes. And you see, here was the first thing that these blind men said. They asked, have mercy on us, O Lord, the Son of David. The one who is the Messiah. The one who shows mercy. The one who is able to save. These blind men, they came to Christ in that way. That's the way that we should be coming to Christ. Coming to him as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Coming as the one who came into this world in infinite mercy. And we are to be asking for mercy. And we are to be ready to hear him, taking a step by step by step. Along the way, if we just refer to the woman of Samaria at the well in Sychar, what a conversation that was between Jesus and that woman. He took it on step by step by step, moving her mind along so that she would learn stage by stage by stage until at last he reveals himself to her. He says to her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah. I am the one that God was to send to be the Savior of sinners. I have come. I am saving sinners. And he shows her in the depths of her soul what she needs and who he is. He gives the Holy Spirit to accompany the truth to her soul. Yes, and when we are asking for mercy, he will give the Holy Spirit to apply the truth, to apply the call of the gospel, perhaps to apply one call after another, and make the sinner able and willing to flee to Christ. Yes, for instance, he might say to us, from Isaiah 45, look unto me, look by faith to me, look trustingly to me, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. There's no other Saviour. That's what he's saying. Sinner, there is no other Saviour. You're not a Saviour, but Christ is. And he is able to save to the uttermost. However far you have gone in sin, however often you have refused Christ, he is still waiting to be gracious. He is still ready to be gracious. And you see, the sinner is to come again and again. If he feels that the Lord has not saved his soul as yet, is he to give up and go away? By no means. He is to ask again and again. He is to come and say, for instance, have mercy upon me. You see, we're speaking about mercy. Jesus had compassion. But he is to come back, is the sinner. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. In other words, according to thy mercy. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Forgive me all my sin. Wash me thoroughly or thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The picture of cleansing is used. There was so much of it in the Old Testament ceremonies. Wash me thoroughly from all my sins. Wash my soul. Make me clean. Make me holy. That's what we should be asking, and that's what any seeking soul here should be asking. Wash me, take away my sins, forgive me, take away the power of sin, so that I wouldn't go on in sin. Look upon me in mercy, so that I might come to thee. Draw me by almighty power. There's so many ways of putting it, so many ways of expressing oneself in terms of asking for salvation. Or again in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. Make it a new creation, a new birth. Oh, be going to the Lord Jesus as the mediator to the Father, the one who stands between you and the Father. If you cannot, and you cannot, come directly to God the Father. You're to come through Christ. That's the way that he has appointed. Christ Jesus came into the world to be a mediator, to be one who would stand between God and sinners like us. Yes, and let us come and keep coming until we are satisfied that we have had an answer. There's mercy in Christ for sinners. Let us believe that, and let us come and come again. Yes. And you see what Christ was saying when he was in this world, and he still says it. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We must be asking in the name of Christ, for the sake of Christ. It is through him, as I've just said, it is through Christ that we are to come to the Father. It is for the sake of Christ, it is in the name of Christ, that we are to ask for salvation. He is able to save to the uttermost. And that cannot be expressed too strongly. It can be put in other ways, but he is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save sinners of every kind, with every conceivable need. Don't stay away saying, you are too great a sinner. Don't stay away saying, your sins are of such a particular kind that you cannot believe that Christ will save you. Oh, come. Come without delay. Come and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or say, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. You see, these men acknowledging Christ as the Messiah. They are acknowledging that it is, that here is the one who came into the world to save sinners. Here is the one that all the saints of God over all preceding generations have looked to. They acknowledge that here was the Savior that was to come in some time in the future. But they would look to him as things already were. There are promises, you see. There were promises. And there are still promises for the likes of us to lay hold of, that we might obtain mercy, that we might have our eyes open, that we might see Jesus. Yes, that we would have our sins forgiven. If ye shall ask anything in my name, if by faith on Christ we will be asking, we'll get an answer. Oh, persevere in praying for an answer. Remember the assurance that he gives. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It is impossible for me. See Christ saying that. It is impossible for me to cast you out if you will come. It's impossible for me to put you away. If you will believe in me, if you will trust in me, according to all these promises that I have given. Yes. If you come to me, if you look to me, if you trust in me as the one who died instead of sinners, there's salvation for you. Yes. Ask him earnestly. Pray earnestly to him that he would have mercy upon your soul. But then we'll get a third group, and that's the people of God. What are they going to say? You go to them and say, what would you say if Christ came to you to ask you what you want? If Christ came to you asking you what you want, well, he's asking you. By virtue of you being here, when this text is being preached on, this is his question to you. What do you want? What do you want more than anything else? And if you are among the people of God, this is what you most want. Something for your soul. You might, one person might put it one way, another person might put it another way, but you're all looking in the same direction. You're looking to Christ if you are among his children. You're looking for spiritual blessings. You're looking to something or some things among all that vast mound of blessings that Christ has purchased for the likes of you. You might go to Psalm 51 and you might take up the words, purge me with hyssop, cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. How definite it is that if Christ will take a sinner in hand, then that person's needs will be fully supplied. What? Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow, altogether white, altogether pure. You see what Christ can do. You see, in other words, what Christ was doing when he was in this world. He was procuring, he was purchasing a huge amount of spiritual blessings, and it's offered to you. It's freely set before you. Let us take it. Let us go together and take it. I in my weakness and you in yours, and receive spiritual blessings, so that we might get through the rest of our lives in this world, that we will get to the door of heaven and not stop there, but go on inside, and Christ meeting sinners there with such a warm welcome. He has welcomed them into his kingdom already, but when he makes intercession for them to be brought to glory, he will meet them, as it were, over again. He will take them by the hand, take them into heaven, and put them down somewhere where they will enjoy the blessings of God forever and ever. Yes. What do you want, believer? Or you might put it your way, and somebody else might put it their way. But it's all, at least as far as first things are concerned, it's all in terms of spiritual blessings. You might be asking very ordinary things also. But you see, that's not the most important thing. And you do not imagine that it is. But you ask for these things because you need them, or you think you need them. You ask for these other things because they would be helpful. And you know that he is able to give them. But above all that, you are asking for spiritual blessings. Yes. We might quote from Psalm 119, hold thou me up so that I wouldn't fall. Hold thou me up and I shall be safe. You need to be kept. The devil is strong. Your unbelieving heart is strong. And you need the Lord to keep you. Well, go to him. Go to him again and again that you may obtain mercy, that mercy and every mercy. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. You see, how is someone to keep the law of God? How is someone to keep keeping the law of God? It's through the work of Christ. It's through Christ coming again and again and again. You see, there's somebody, and that's what I was speaking about as among the second group, that person wants salvation. He wants to be saved. He wants to be delivered from the wrath to come. He wants a new heart and a right spirit. He wants forgiveness. He wants these blessings from Christ. Yes, you want these things. It's not so much that you want to start all over again. Well, you might, but you want to have them better. That's the thing. The people of God should be coming to Christ wanting to get a better grip of salvation, a better grasp of the way of, a better grasp of the way of salvation. That's it. And if someone is asking, hold thou me up, then there's others who are asking, do thou continue to hold me up? Do thou hold me up more? Do thou keep me more from sliding away? And they may be asking for not so much for their eyes to be open, but for their eyes to be open further, to see better what Christ has done, to see better who Christ is, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Yes. And I'm going to quote from Psalm 119. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The blind men were asking, Lord, open my eyes. And what I'm saying just now is that the people of God, who have had prayers answered already, but they're coming back, they're wanting more, they're wanting things better. And so they ask, open my eyes further, so that I would see wonderful things out of thy law, and see them better, see them more clearly. That's the thing, that we would see these things more clearly. And there were those that came to Jesus, and they were saying, we would see Jesus. Well, the people of God want to see him again, want to see him better, want to get more blessings. That's how it should be. And their prayers go out to the whole world. Their prayers go to their friends, their relations, but there's no limit to the prayers of the godly. There was no limit even in Old Testament times to David's prayers. He was asking, he was sending his prayers as it were, this far, let the whole earth be filled with his glory. That was amazing. David praying for the whole world, not just for his own people Israel. That was a small kingdom. But his mind was right round the world. and his praying for the whole earth. And his prayers were only in a small degree answered in his time. But they've been answered stage by stage since then. And others have taken up David's prayer. They find it a very suitable prayer for themselves. And so they ask again and again, day after day, Lord, may the whole earth be filled with thy glory. Let the people of God here have that prayer and ask it earnestly. Send it up to heaven for the sake of Christ, in the name of Christ. It's for Christ's authority. It's in Christ's authority that they are seeking to pray. Let them go on. An answer is on its way. When it will come, we do not know. But we can say, the answer is on its way. But still, they need to be taught to pray. They haven't learned that lesson as well as they might. They need to be kept in their prayers. They need to be kept from their thoughts wandering away to other irrelevant things. They need to add to their petitions. They need to be more earnest with their petitions. They need the grace of the Holy Spirit so that they would really pray for the sake of Christ. But there were another pair of blind men we're told about earlier in the Gospel. One thing Jesus said to them was, according to your faith, be it unto me, be it unto you. Let your prayers go out proportionally to your faith. Well, what do the people of God need? They need to have their faith strengthened. Where will they get that faith? They're to seek stronger faith. They're to seek to believe more effectively. Yes. It's according to their faith. And so, let them be going. Day after day, Sabbath after Sabbath, let them be going with their needs. Let them be going to ask for faith, stronger faith, so that they would pray more earnestly, more believingly, taking in better what Christ has provided for sinners. And then, let us notice what Paul was saying to the Philippian believers. Be careful for nothing. Do not be overly concerned about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What then? The God of peace, the God who sends peace, the God who makes peace between himself and those who trust in him. The God of peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace for the troubled believer through looking to Christ. Oh, indeed, they should ask, Lord, increase our faith. And let me point to the Saviour's encouragement of persevering prayer. Prayer that goes on. Prayer that isn't deflected away. Prayer that doesn't stop because of the discouragements on the way. He asks, after telling about the importunate woman, the woman that was in earnest to have a request heard, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? It may be a long time before the prayer is answered, but still keep going. Keep on. That's this message. Let the believer pray on. He will come to those that he has chosen, who cry day and night unto him. He may bear long with their prayers before he answers. And let that be an encouragement to those who are seeking Christ. You may have to wait for some considerable time, though that is still true according to your faith, be it unto you. But as you pray, remind the Saviour of his words to you in calling you on the basis of the saving work that he has accomplished. And I'll quote what I've quoted not that many minutes ago. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, have mercy on us. Take us each one under thine own loving care and bless us with all spiritual blessings. May we be in earnest about our souls. May we be in earnest to have our eyes open better and further, and to receive more by faith out of thy word. May that be taking us to the throne of grace. May it be bringing us back to the throne of grace and again and again. And may we believe the promises that there are in thy word, and that thou art assuring us, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Bless us in our souls. Bless thy word to us. Bless what was spoken in thy name this evening and in the morning. And grant to be applying thy truth to us all. Grant thy favour and help as we go through this world, and take us safely wherever we go. Remember those who are unwell. Remember those who are receiving hospital attention. Remember those who have lost loved ones and are in trouble of any kind. Pardon us and keep us. Go before us now. Go before us always. Bless us being under thy word this evening, and be with us always. For Jesus' sake, amen.